Thank God for His preventative grace has already been emphasized tonight. Amen. Sounded good, youth choir. I appreciate songs that uplift the Lord. Amen. Sung from the heart like you guys did. One note before we begin tonight. Pray for our Sunday services that somebody would receive this gospel and their life would be changed. They'd be saved in our services on Sunday. Appreciate your being here tonight. And we're going to turn our hearts to the Word, and we may not get everything done I'd planned tonight, but we'll just stop when we need to, when we need to come to the altars. But let's pray that the Holy Spirit would anoint our thoughts. I'm not going to get into this right now. I almost did Sunday night in the message, but the anointing isn't just on the speaker. The anointing can be on the hearer to receive the Word. And let's just pray the Holy Spirit would move. Father, we turn our hearts to You. We want this to be an eternal moment. Lord, when we speak of holy things, we want to have that sense of reverence and awe and wonder. May we glorify You, Lord, and be so thankful that You want to do a work in our lives. Lord, that we don't have to be like this perishing world around us, destroyed by their own sin. But Lord, You've made a way that we can live above that through the power of Jesus Christ. Make that come through tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In our study of who we are, we have reached the point for the last several sessions we've been talking about holiness. And I've pointed out there's been a lot of confusion because we don't always talk about the same thing when we talk about holiness. Sometimes folks are talking about the nature. By the way, I think this is where it ought to start. Be holy as I am holy. I read last night where God imparts His holiness. That's what we want, a nature. Holiness is a doctrine. It's a Bible teaching over 800 times in Scripture. It's mentioned. But holiness is also an experience. It's something that happens to you. Just like salvation isn't just something you get with your head, you get it with your heart. Baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't just something you get with your head, you get it in your heart. The sanctification is an experience you don't just get with your head, you get with your heart. It's a historical development. God moved in history to bring about the holiness movement. And then after we finish a few more sessions, we'll get to this. Holiness is a lifestyle. It affects all of our lives. And it's a culture. But tonight we're going to focus on holiness is an experience. It's an experience. You and I can be sanctified. I've told this a few times, but years ago I was listening to Brother Clendenin on a tape, and he told a story how he had finished preaching one night, and this man was just real passion came up to him at the altar. He said, "Brother, I want you to pray for me." "Okay, brother, what do you want me to pray about?" He said, "I want you to pray that I'll quit smoking. I want to be delivered from smoking. Will you pray for me that I could quit smoking?" Brother Clendenin said, "Sure, bow your head and repeat after me. Dear God, help me to quit smoking. Help me to quit smoking. And if I ever smoke another one, and if I ever smoke another one, God, just kill me." And the man looked at him and said, "I can't pray that." I think it's a wonderful story for several reasons. Number one, it will always show if you really want God to do the work of sanctification, holiness, and separation in your heart. It'll show if you want God to do it, and it'll show if you don't care if God sanctifies you or not. But I also wanted to share that story because the man was crying for God's help, and we cannot be sanctified without God at work. But it also illustrates that though we must have God to sanctify us, there is something we can do. There is our role. So let's talk about the experience of holiness. Sanctification must not just be a doctrine. I'd like to dwell here, but we can't. Sanctification must be an experience. An experience is something that happens to me. We should say, "I must be sanctified. I must be made holy." I want to ask a question tonight. Is sanctification, being made holy, is that something that's done to us? Or is it something we do to ourselves? Can we sanctify ourselves? Is sanctification something we're powerless to do? There's no way we can make ourselves holy. Or is sanctification something that only we can do? If we're going to be holy, it's up completely to us. And I know folks don't like this answer, but I'm going to give it to you scripturally. It's both of those. Sanctification is something we can't do, yet it's something we can do. Sanctification is something done to us, but it's something we can do to ourselves. To give you a picture of that, I want us to look at sanctification from another angle. In reality, sanctification is growth. It's growth. I want us to pause and think. Think of yourself, no one else. Have you been growing in Christ? Have you been growing in holiness? Have you been growing in the image of Christ? It's growth in our life that produces this image of Christ. How do I know I'm having the image of Christ in my life? Because I have the fruit of the Spirit. And we've made holiness a lot of things. But I'll tell you one sure way you can know you're becoming holy, and that is if you're having the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Love and joy and peace and temperance and goodness and all gentleness, all of those things. Grow in grace, Peter says, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This is becoming holy. It's growing in Christ. Are you growing? Now here's what I want you to consider. You cannot make your heart grow in holiness any more than you can cause a seed to grow and produce fruit. You can, if I laid a bean seed up here on the pulpit tonight, I don't think there's a person in here that on command could say to that bean seed, grow, and it would sprout. Anyone have that ability? We don't have that ability with our own heart. We cannot make our heart grow in holiness. Or can we? A gardener cannot make a seed germinate and grow, can he? He can't tell the bean to grow. A gardener cannot make the sun shine or the rain fall. How many would like that has gardened? You'd like to say, now, today, son, I need about 10 hours of this temperature. Or if your garden got a little dry, you'd say, okay, it's going to rain today. Can't do it. But a gardener can plant the seed. You know, a lot of people are like the gardener that says, well, I can't make the seed germinate. I can't make it rain. I can't make the sunshine. So no need to have in a garden. Some people are like that with holiness. I can't make myself holy. I can't make my mind pure. I can't overcome these things. I can't overcome that. And so I'm just going to be me. No, no, no. A gardener can plant the seed. A gardener can pull the weeds. A gardener can apply the fertilizer. A gardener can spray the insecticide. I can't make the seed grow. But there's some things I can do. I can't make myself holy. But there are some things I can do that allows God to do it in my life. Hallelujah. I want you to consider these scriptures. Look at them very closely. That He, that's Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it. So who does the sanctifying? Who does the cleansing? Jesus. Really? Look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness or sanctification in the fear of God. Who does it? Does He do it or do we do it? Consider these verses. Paul's prayer. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Who sanctifies you? God does. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. Who sanctifies? God. Who purges? Who sanctifies? You do it yourself. Which is it? Let me just kind of make some statements about that. You cannot remove the stain of sin from your heart. There's not a person. Some have already messed up this week. And there's no way you can get rid of that stain of sin from your heart on your own. You can't do it. How many has found a way where you can, on command, remove sin from your life? The stain of sin. But you can remove what is causing the stain from your life. You can't get rid of the sin on your heart, but you can get rid of the things in your life that are leading you into that sin. That's how He does the cleansing, and yet we cleanse ourselves. This is how it happens. He makes us holy, but we have a role. You may not be able to get rid of your wrong desires. They come from your base nature. But you can refrain from what incites those desires. I have a question I ask those that fall into temptation, and I'm thinking in particular in areas of pornography and drugs. And every time I said, I want you to stop a minute, and I want you to answer this question. You answer me this question. What is the pattern before you fall into that sin? And at first, I don't know, but I'll quiz them. One new convert that kept falling into drugs, he would watch all these crime shows where there was a lot of drugs and stuff on it. And I tried to get him to see that just watch it. I mean, he even admitted that when he saw it, it caused him to want to do drugs. But he would never make the commitment not to watch those shows. You see, you can't get rid of your wrong desires, but you can refrain from what incites those desires. And by the way, I used to tell different folks, let's not argue stupid. And the thing is, we know what elicits wrong desires from our lives. You may not be able to cleanse those inappropriate thoughts from your mind and heart. Only God can. But you can install the filter to the internet. You can cancel your membership to that site. You can stop watching those movies that are causing those thoughts. I believe if you'll make that commitment, you'll be amazed at the work God will be able to do in your mind and your heart. And I'm not just picking on cigarettes. We have all kinds of sinful habits. We could just as well say gossip. You may not be able to turn off that craving for cigarettes, but you can throw away the ones you have. So who sanctifies? Well, yes, God sanctifies us, but there's a role that we play. You may not be able to make yourself like Jesus, but you can listen to the Word. You know, and I've actually had this problem, and I'm not just trying to be negative tonight, but I've had folks come to me during the week and say, oh, Pastor, you've got to help me. I've got such a problem and struggle with this temptation. I can't seem to overcome it. Oh, help me, pray for me. And I noticed in both services Sunday, I couldn't get them to listen when I was preaching the Word. You can listen to the Word. You can pray. You can come to the altar. You can listen to gospel music. You guys are probably too young. Probably none of you remember this, but I used to tell them when I was teaching this back in the back. This stuff, if you don't have a desire to please God and to be like Jesus, this stuff that I'm teaching seems like the most silly, foolish stuff in the world. But if you have a desire to be like Jesus, if you want to please the Lord, there's something in your heart, even right now tonight, that says, yes, there's a way to overcome. There's a way to have pure thoughts. There's a way to become more like Jesus. The gardener that does not plant cannot complain about no growth in his garden. Isn't that right? Someone that doesn't pray, doesn't partake of the Word, doesn't abstain from evil, they can't complain and say, well, you know, God's power is not very strong, or He would help me overcome this temptation. The weeds will grow on their own. I've got a whole sermon I preached on. I won't preach it tonight. You don't have to plant weeds. Isn't that deep? Isn't that rich? How many's discovered you don't have to plant weeds? They come up on their own. Weeds will grow on their own. But the good plants that only God can grow, still the good plants must be cultivated. They must be cared for. God does the work of sanctification in our life, but we cultivate that. We care for what God is doing in our lives. Let's talk about the means God uses to sanctify us. And I don't know if you want to write these down, but I do want us to contemplate them. How does God sanctify us? Number one, through the work of the Spirit. We have relegated the Spirit to helping us have expressive worship service and have power gifts like healing and miracles and faith. But most of the time the Holy Spirit is mentioned throughout the epistles. It's in the context of purifying our lives. I could preach all night here. I won't. I know that scared you, but are ye so foolish? Paul said to the Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? How did you become saved? The Spirit convicted you. How did you come to an altar? The Spirit drew you. Everyone was convinced that they could have never become a Christian without the work of the Holy Spirit. Right? Well, I want to tell us something. We've begun in the Spirit, but if we grow in Christ, it'll take the Spirit for us to grow in Christ. Now, the flesh here, by the way, doesn't mean doing the wrong things in the world. The flesh here, at this point, we won't get into this tonight, means that you think just because you go down a list of do's and don'ts, that that makes you holy. You're not holy. Now, there's maybe things we shouldn't do and we should do, but we're not holy until what we're doing it by the impetus of the Spirit. And not just because it's a tradition, and not just because we're afraid if we don't do it, somebody's going to ban us from the group. True holiness is when we're doing it as a result of the impetus of the Spirit in our lives. Notice the Spirit. I don't want you bogged down. I just want to read these. Notice the role of the Spirit. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. How are you sanctified? By the Spirit of our God. 2 Thessalonians. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through or by sanctification of the Spirit. Romans 15. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles may be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. In other verses, but I want us to see it's the Spirit that sanctifies us. That's why it's all important to say yes to the Spirit, to move with the Spirit, to worship in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. Because He's the one that can sanctify our hearts. What's the mean God uses to sanctify us? The Word of God. And there are many, many scriptures here, but let me give you a few. Jesus prayed for His disciples, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. You know, I can't get on a rabbit trail here, but we've come to a place in America that people think that the preaching of the Word's role is to make them feel good about themselves, or to bless them, or you know, to wow them. But Jesus said the role of my Word is to sanctify them. The Word should be making us more holy. Young people, I've always liked this. I'm not young anymore, but I still like this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. There is so much garbage out there. You can take a trip to the mall and you'll feel dirty before you get out of there. And there's only one way to combat that influence of evil, and that's the Word of God. But you see, the Spirit and the Word work inseparably together to bring sanctification. It's the Spirit in the preaching of the Word. The Spirit will bring the Word to our hearts. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The Spirit works in and through and with the Word of God. How many's glad for the Word of God? The third means that God uses to sanctify us is what He can do in our lives when we pray. I want to tell you straight out, you'll never be sanctified if you don't pray. You'll never be holy if you don't pray. I appreciate the things that's been said about prayer tonight. But people that aren't praying are opening themselves wide up wide open to the attack of Satan and the temptation of the world. There's just something that God can do for us if we'll pray. It's in prayer that the Word and Spirit are able to come together. You see, prayer's not just a cathartic thing we do. Prayer's not just therapy that the world tries to make it. God does something in our hearts when our prayer. And I'll tell you what He'll do. He's able, when we pray, to ingrain His Word and impact us with His Spirit. I'm going to take time to tell it tonight, but I'll never forget a time in a chapel. No one was there. I just went in there alone. When suddenly the Spirit made God's holiness real to me. And I wept and I wept and I wept. It never happened if I hadn't left the library and went into that empty chapel. What's the means God uses saying the winning with faith? What are you talking about? He's put no difference between us and them, the Jew and the Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith. God, now this may be talking more particularly about justification, but God is able to purify us if we'll believe Him to do it. Some people have never been made holy because they really haven't ever believed that God can make them holy, that God can make them clean, that God can help them with their thoughts. I'm crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, how do I live it? I live it by the faith of the Son of God. I don't have time to make that connection, maybe just briefly, but a part of this holiness is when we live the crucified life. But Paul said, I live the crucified life because I live by faith. In other words, I believe Jesus makes a difference in my life. I believe I can walk different tomorrow because of Jesus. I believe I don't have to think those thoughts anymore. I believe I can have holy and pure desire. I believe that God can make me like His Son. We must have faith that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so if I'm going to be sanctified, I must believe it's possible for me. I love it when I see folks that have lived an awful life of sin, done very wicked things. And they pray, and I don't have time to preach justification tonight. But it doesn't matter what they've done. When they confess their sins and they arise, they are purified and clean and God's sight. But Satan will bring their past up to them over and over again. But people need to believe, whatever their past, however wicked, they can be a saint of God. They can be a pure-minded, thinking, pure-desiring servant of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many believes that? How many believes I can be holy? I'm not talking about I can be arrogant. I'm talking about I can be holy. I can be like Jesus. I can think the right thoughts, have the right desires, amen, will the right things. I can walk right, talk right, have the right attitudes and motives. I don't take any credit for it. I just believe it's possible. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now I want to talk about those are the means God uses. But remember, it's not just something God does. It's something we do. Now, I hate this. Two things here. Number one, I'm only able to treat this superficially for the sake of time. Number two, I'm not going to get where we need to be tonight. We want to stop in just a few minutes. And I say that so we'll really focus on this. I've told people over and over, if you really want victory in your life, if you really want to become holy, if you want victory over the world and flesh, then there's three chapters in Romans you need to get into and live in. Romans 6, Romans 7, and don't stop at Romans 7 or you'll be in a big dark pit and you may not know how to ever get out. If you're going to read Romans 7, you better move on to Romans 8. Amen? We're not going to do all three chapters. I want us to take a precursory look at Romans 6 Because Romans 6 is talking about how to live a sanctified life. What is our part? God uses His Word. God uses His Spirit. God moves in our lives in prayer. We have faith in God so that God can do it. But what's our part? Our part is this. Number one, we must know that we're to be sanctified and made holy. We're to know that's God's plan for our lives. How many would admit, and I don't say this with an elitist attitude, I don't say this with an but how would admit that that's almost an extinct belief in the American church? Whether by default or design, people get the idea that as long as you've been washed in the blood and saved, you can go out and live any way you want to in the world. As long as you make it back for Sunday and say your prayer and feel the presence of God and get your buzz again, then everything's all right. People need to know something. Scripture teaches we are to be sanctified. We are to live holy. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, either dead to sin, live any longer therein? And you see, I'm skipping some verses for sake of time. But then Paul says this, knowing this, get it, understand it. If you're a Christian, you need to understand that the old man, the old life, the old desires, the old thoughts are crucified, put to death with Him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed. Here it is. That henceforth we should not serve sin. We must know it as a fact that as a believer, it's God's will not to live in bondage of sin, not to practice sin, not to be in the sin of this world, not to love sin, but it's God's will to make us holy and sanctified. Know it. We've got to know it. Do you know it? To know it's to be convinced of it. We need to know that God's purpose in saving us was to deliver us from a life of sin, unrighteousness, and holiness. So we got to know. Number two, we got to consider that our old life of sin is over. Are you done? Some people are with sin like I've seen some folks do in relationship. They break up with the boy breaks up with his girlfriend. This is it. I'm through. And the next day he's calling her again. They're back together. And he breaks up and they're back together. And he breaks up and they're back. Ain't ever going to work. If you're done, you need to be done. If you're through, you need to be through. Some people are that way with sin. They run to church and pray. Oh, I'm so through with that world. I'm so sick of that. And Monday, they're right back in it. Watch the same movies. Run with the same friends. Amen. Paul said we're to be through with our old life. And not just that our old life is over with, but we have a new life in God that has replaced it. Hallelujah. That's why we can consider the old life over. It's because we got a new life to live. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Hallelujah. Here it is. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you feel those wrong desires begin to come up in you, you need to say, no, that's my old life, that's the world's life, that's the flesh. No, I don't have to have those desires because I got some other desires in me. When I got saved, He gave me a desire for God. He gave me a desire to serve the Lord. He gave me a desire for the Word. He gave me a desire for worship. And I can say, no, I consider you dead. Listen, you desire, you're dead. Stay there. No, I don't have to listen to you. But oh, I'm going to say yes to those good desires. Consider, that's what the word reckoning, consider, figure it out. It comes from the word logic. Just figure this thing. Let's be logical about this. If you really got saved, the old life should be over with and dead, and you should have no desire but to live the new life. Some of you remember, Brother L.D. Moore had a unique way of getting things across. And when Paul said, reckon yourselves to be dead, I heard L.D. Moore say one time, he said, I was walking by my grave the other day, saw one of my feet sticking out, and went and got a shovel and reburied myself. Anyone heard him say something like that? That's what it means to reckon yourself. It doesn't mean the flesh doesn't try to rise up. It doesn't mean that that old life doesn't try to stick its foot out of the grave. It means when that happened, you say, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not coming out of that grave. When I got saved, when I was baptized in water, I made a public confession. My old life was over with. I was through with the world. I was through with sin. And listen, you old life, you old man, you're not coming out of that grave. Why? Because I've got new life. I'd rather live the new life than the old life anytime. No, we're to be sanctified. Consider your old life of sin over and then refuse to let sin be in control. Sin will move in every time and always take control. Never forget it. Sin will never be submissive to you. Ever. Sin will always take control in your life. You hear me tonight? Sin will always take control. You let sin in. Whether it's your home, your family, your life, your mind, sin will take control. But Paul says, refuse to let sin be in control. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You let sin in, you will obey it. Your lust are an ally to that sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Oh, hallelujah. You see, some people get this idea that we're telling Christians, now listen, if you're going to be a Christian, you can't sin anymore. Oh, we can't sin anymore if we're going to be Christian. No, you can't. If you're going to be Christian, you can't sin anymore. No. What a rotten attitude. It's not that at all. He said, I'm a Christian. Number one, I don't want to sin anymore. And number two, I don't have to sin anymore because I'm no longer under the bondage and the dominance and the reign of sin. Sin doesn't reign in my heart. Sin doesn't rule my heart. Jesus is on the throne of my heart. I'm a new creation. I don't have to listen to sin. Jesus is my Lord. Refuse to let sin be in control. I always hate to bring up vernacular, but time I get a handle on it, the young people done changed it. Brother Brian preached a great message on YOLO last. I thought he was talking about a movie star for the first 5 minutes. You're not the boss of me. I wish somebody would say that to sin. You know why they don't say it? Because they love their sin more than they love Jesus. It's that simple. And who are they fooling? Because that world's going to devour them like it's devoured everybody else. But you know why you can say you're not the boss of me to sin? Because you've got a new boss. You're under new management. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then, I want you to go home and read Romans 6. I'm not doing this justice. Know that we're to be sanctified. Consider your old life a sin over. Refuse to let sin be in control. And then surrender yourself to God. Surrender yourself to God. It's not enough just to say no to sin. Surrender yourself to God. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Yield, surrender yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, your body, members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yes, sin tries to make its power felt in your life. But thank God, He makes His power felt in your life too. You know, sometimes we get on this negative trip. We talk about, you know, you hear people testify, the devil's been after me all day. I've been facing so many things. I've had so many temptations. Yes, it's true. There is that pull of the world there. You can feel that pull of the world. You can feel it come into your mind. I mean, it's out there. It's everywhere.
But I want to tell you something. Not only is there the pull of the world, there's God's pull too. There's His presence. There's His. That's why church is so important. How many tonight when you came in here, you felt a pull from heaven on your heart? You felt it like magnetism, God pulling. But you see, amen, who's going to win? The pull of the world or the pull of God? Only you can determine that. It's the one that you yield to. And I've illustrated this many times, but help me one more time. Noah, would you come? Ryan, would you come? Ryan, would you mind to help us? Hallelujah. Now, listen, I know God's greater than anything. But I'm talking about its effect. Would you be in the middle? You're going to be the Christian. You're going to be the one pulled apart. You got black on. You're the flesh. You got red, blood of Jesus. You're God. Now, let's say, don't hurt him. He's disappointed. Let's say that God is pulling on his life, the new man. But the flesh, the old man, the old life is pulling. Let's say they're pulling about equal proportions. They're about pulling equal proportions. We're going to have to hurry this up. If they're pulling equal proportions on his life, who's going to win? Who's going to win? The one he puts his desire and effort behind. If he puts his desire on his side, look what's. But if he puts his desire and his effort on God's side, look what happened. It does matter whom you're yielding to. I'm going to stop. I want everybody to listen across the building. Whom are you yielding to? What are you yielding your life to? Don't give your life up to the pull of this world. There are attractions. There are pleasures. Don't yield to that. But yield to the sweet Holy Spirit that we felt in the service this Sunday. And yield to God. And suddenly something's going to happen. I'll tell you what you need. You just need. He's trying to raise up and pull that. Just put him dead. Tell him he's dead. I mean, put him in his grave. Tell him he's dead. Hallelujah. Now come over here and surrender to God. Say, God, I want what you have. I'm telling you, that's the way to be made holy. He can never cleanse himself, but he can put him to death, and he can say yes, yielding to God. Thank you, brothers. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Just surrender. Just yield to God completely and totally. Amen. Obey the word of God. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto right. Obey. Obey. You know, we've made the Word of God. We've made it an option. It's not an option. The Word of God is to be obeyed. It's not that I just don't like pastors preaching. It's do you obey the Word of God? But God be thanked, hallelujah, that you were the servants of sin. You're no longer because you've obeyed from the heart. It's not an act. It's not a facade. But from the heart you've obeyed the form of doctrine that was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of right. Oh, it's time to obey. That's the way to holiness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto sanctification. That's how to be holy. That's how to be sanctified. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What was the result of that? Listen to me. Listen to me. What was the result when you said yes to your worldly desires? What is always the result when you say yes to this world? Destruction. Shameful acts. Death. But what is the result when you say yes to God? You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. When I was a teenager, there was a song, you've got to serve somebody. And I'll tell you, you will serve somebody. You'll serve this world or you'll serve Christ. I'm going to skip this part. I'm just going to go to illustration to quit. Would you come, music? Unless you can get it that fast, we won't do it next Wednesday night. I don't think you can tell what this is at all. Can anyone see that? Can anyone tell what this is? That's right. Some of you have seen it at the house. This is one where we painted the kitchen several times. If you're married, you don't paint when it needs it. You just paint when the urge hits somebody, you know. But we've never painted
this threshold. And if you could see it, well, right there, there's Micah. You can see him catching me, 04, 06. And then in 07, 08 there, you can't hardly see. In 08, he passed me up by a quarter of an inch. That's because he has hair on top. And let's see if I can get there. Well, I can't show you. I was going to show you. Go ahead and take me off there. I was going to show you where Andrew's starting to come up, you know. And measure him every few months and he's coming up. Growing. Now, what would happen? About every month or so, we measure Andrew and he's just about to catch Mom. And every month the line goes a little high. What would happen if about 2 months from now, Andrew said, Dad, measure me again. I got him up against there. I marked it and he stepped away. The mark was lower than it had been 2 months ago. 3 more months, got him up there, and the mark's even lower still. What would you think? Something wrong. Bad wrong. Spiritually tonight. Listen to me. Listen. Spiritually tonight. How many believes God might kind of have a threshold like that where He measures? I want to ask you something. If God were to measure you tonight, are the marks going up? Or are the marks going down? And if the marks are going down, something wrong. Been yielding to the wrong thing. Would you stand? How many would like to come and yield yourselves afresh to God? Say no to every other pull. Just come and fill these altars. Say, God, once again, I'm coming to yield myself to You. I'm coming to surrender myself to You. Hallelujah. I say no. I want to grow. I want to grow. Let's make this a serious time at the altar of the Lord tonight. Servant you are to whom you obey. Sin will always control. Sin will always rule. Make me holy, Lord. Sanctify me, Lord. Oh, God, make me clean. Jesus. Why don't you pray to Him tonight, Lord, sanctify me, Lord, purify me. I yield to God.
Going out to You.
I surrender to God.